This Lent, we've been listening to Jesus' call, the call on the Sermon on the Mount, part of which we just heard, to take on love. God's love, that love with prayers for our hands and actions for our feet. I think it might be on the final, I'm not sure, but I have this deep sense. Last week, we began our journey on Ash Wednesday as we ask the question, does Jesus love me? Does Jesus love even me when he knows all of who I am? And then we looked last week at what it means to love our neighbor as we looked at that call to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And today, we continue taking on love as we turn to those that we've sometimes called, and it's a little bit hard to say, but we've sometimes called our enemies and those we felt persecuted by. I think it was radical and shocking as Jesus gathered and taught those around him 2,000 years ago and said these words. And I think it sometimes rubs us the wrong way, even today. How can we be called to love those we think of as enemies and pray those who we feel persecuted by? How can we be asked to be perfect as God is perfect? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Could be quaint, perhaps, to hear, or powerful to live. For the family members who lived through the shootings of the domestic terrorism that happened, do you remember it, in Charleston in 2015 at the Emmanuel AME Church in June, they had an opportunity to live one of two different ways. In that church in which there was Bible study going on, there could have been one of two different ways to live. There could have been, when it came time for the sentencing, for Dylan Ruth, who sat among the Bible study in that church, the family members well could have said, we'd like for there to be sentencing for the shooter who came for our family members. Or they could live witness to the Bible and the faith that they were studying. They could live like Jesus. At the sentencing, some of the words sounded like this. I wonder if you remember them. Felicia Sanders spoke about her son who was present at the Charleston church that day. She said this, we welcomed you on a Wednesday night into our Bible study. We welcomed you with open arms. Her voice was trembling. I can't even imagine this. It shakes me as I read it. She said, he was my son and he was my hero. May God have mercy on you. And I pray for you. Nadine Collar, the daughter of 70-year-old Ethel Lance, said at the hearing, her voice breaking with emotion, you took something precious from me. I will never talk to my mom again. I'll never hold her again. But I forgive you. May God have mercy on you. The families of the Charleston Nine banded together and lived out some radical love. I don't know how they did it, friends. And yet it's the kind of love that God calls us to live. A love that reminds us, if you only love those who love you, what kind of reward do you have? A kind of love that reminds us, if you only pray for those who are also praying for you, not those who also persecute you. How are you following the one who spoke then on the Sermon on the Mount? Love that reminds us that hatred and racism and white supremacy have no place in the lived faith of Christians who are seeking to live as Jesus lived. In a polarized and divisive world, you and I could allow an awful lot to divide us. Loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you means that when we are tempted to say there is other on one side of the equation, believing and acting and living differently, Jesus calls us to live in community and in love. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When we begin to believe that Jesus' call to love and prayer is not for us, we could believe that we have lost a connection with our fellow humanity. We could look for people and groups to blame. There could, friends, be scapegoating. And it could be detrimental, dividing a world into us and them. I say this really delicately in this week, and I say it really convicted in this week. Jesus called on the Sermon on the Mount the powers of the day into question and describe them in a way to invite us into relationship, not governed by power, but a vulnerability grounded in love, so that there could be no room for violence, so that there could be no room for bigotry, so that there could be no room for hatred or fear. The love that you and I know in Jesus has no space for the actions that transpired on Friday in Christ Church in New Zealand. It has no room for those actions that transpired where 50 people were dead in Christ Church, and more injured from a growing fear of those who may not have known by pointing us and them. Friends, that is not the kind of love that Jesus spoke of when he said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute them. When I was going through the ordination process, I encountered a member of the Board of Ordained Ministry, I wonder if you've ever had an experience like this, who in the Board of Ordained Ministry process, you write an awful lot of paperwork. It's like an interview process many of you have been through, and I wrote about 150 pages of paperwork and submitted it. And there was a member who handed me back my work with a comment that was both sexist and misogynistic. And when I received back that piece of paperwork, I was deeply hurt. How could I be anything other than this? And the person was ultimately held accountable for their comments. It's the closest I think I've ever felt to knowing what it feels like to be persecuted. I prayed for this person. I chose to thank God that this person was serving in this capacity. And I prayed for a day in which we might come to know each other in a different kind of a way. It's a difficult kind of prayer to pray. For in knowing each other, we would change that relationship. I have to tell you, that was a number of years ago. I've been ordained for a few years. And across many years, we've worked together in the annual conference. And across many years, we've grown in respect for one another. In fact, we've broken bread together. We've offered and received apologies, and gifts actually have been exchanged. From hurtful comments, there have been love, and there's been prayers. It's taken years. This didn't happen once and done. It's the work that you and I do when we talk about loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute you. It's the work that we do with our families and our friends when there are things that are said and things that divide us. Now let me also say, because I'd be ill-advised, to say a word about abusive situations as well. There are times in which you and I have been in situations that are truly situations of danger, and we need to be out of those situations. Those are not the situations I'm talking about here. Those situations that we should not reconcile or return to. That's not the heart of Jesus' radical love. Too long has the church been silent or complicit in calling people to go back or stay in places they should not be, in the guise of loving your enemy, turning the other cheek. That's not the relationship we're talking about today. Loving your enemy and praying for those who persecute you is today talking about where God is moving among us for a new thing. It's possible that some of us may be sitting here today saying, I may not have any enemies, and thanks be to God that no one may come directly to your mind. When I say love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, there's no one you hate and no one who hates you. Thanks be to God. But let me push just a little bit further. When we say love without liking those who are around us, and we avoid contact with certain people, we may just be called to pray for who it is that we are avoiding in relationship as well. Because prayer changes us. We've often imagined that prayer changes those who are around us, and it may do that as well. But prayer always changes us, because it changes the way that we see other people. We see them not just as a persecutor or on the other side. We begin to see others as just as human as we are. Now, if no one comes to mind for you, you may be called to pray and love a public figure, God bless you, the one who riles you up or irks you in the public. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I'm going to invite you to do this in three ways. The first of which is, whoever it is who's come to mind for you, let me invite you that every time you hear their name, say they are a child of God. Jeff, Jamie, Joe, Nancy is a child of God. First and foremost, when we follow in the footsteps and the love of Jesus, we remember that even those who are challenging to us are a blessed child of God. Second, give thanks to God for something about that person. When I was heard about the comments that were made to me, I gave thanks to God that this person served in the conference board of ordained ministry. I had to stretch my brain and say, what is it that I could give thanks to God for? A sacrifice I understand much better now that I also serve on the board of ordained ministry. But giving thanks to God helped me to understand that that person was someone whom God has created in God's image. not just what I experienced in hurt. Sometimes it's an awful stretch, but it shaped me more than anything. And third, be open to how the reconciliation path might present itself. It may take time. We'd like it to happen as soon as it occurs to us. We'd like God's timing to be right away, suddenly and easily. But most commonly, it takes some time and some energy. Be gentle with yourselves, friends. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So whether it's a coworker or a family member, a neighbor or a friend, may God move with you and through you as you have been taking on love this Lent, to pray with your hands, to give thanks, to allow your heart to be changed, and then act with your feet to let your life be transformed. We've been in the habit this Lent of closing with a prayer together. Would you join me in this closing prayer? There we go. Thank you. God of my friend and God of my enemy, you have called me to love my enemy and pray for those who persecute me. Bring to mind the name of one I have treated as other. Let me see Jesus in them, as they might see Jesus in me. Open my heart to the path of love and reconciliation, I pray. Amen.